Thank you.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you all so much for being here. We're going to get started. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, and this is the City Council study meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the great City of South Jordan, and I'm joined by our outstanding City Council who are here with me, and Mrs. Zander will be with us in a bit. Everybody else is here. Thank you for being here, and our excellent staff, best staff in the state. I say it every time. Thank you so much for being here with us. We have a lot of members of the public here with us. We've got folks going to do presentations. Thank you to all of you for joining us. Thank you for being here, members of our youth council. It's great to have you here. Thank you. All right, we're going to open the meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Jason McGuire.
Our dear Father in Heaven, we're grateful to be able to meet together in our form of government to have the opportunity to participate and to help shape the wonderful city in which we live. We pray that as we go through the night that there will be a spirit of cooperation and that we'll be able to do what is best for the city of South Jordan and for the residents of the city. We ask that that would be with our first responders and watch over them and help them with their various duties this night and keep them safe. We pray that thou would help us to look forward into the future of the city as we make our decisions. And these things we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. All right. Mayor and Council coordination. Does anybody have anything you'd like to bring up?
There's the legislative meeting Saturday at Jordan Valley Hospital.
On 90th?
Yeah, on 90th. And just east of Bangor. And that's at 8 o'clock, and there's breakfast provided. And the first meeting was really good. The second meeting was quite good. So,
Where in the hospital is it, Don? You know,
that's
a hard one to describe.
I think it's like the third or fourth floor. I'm not sure which, but there'll be signs in there.
Yeah.
I believe this is the last one.
Yeah,
it's the last one.
There are 8 days left of the legislative session.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
A lot to get done.
There's a lot going on. Thank you for that. Anyone have anything else? Okay, the only other things that I have to bring up to coordinate really are exactly that, just that the legislative session is super busy right now. Really good LPC meeting today, abundant LPC meeting. There's a lot and a lot going on, so stand by, and if there are things, it's getting down to crunch time, and we're getting some bills that are dropping fast and then making their way very quickly through the process, like getting dropped and then all of a sudden going through the House and the Senate immediately.
And everything has to be heard this week by committee, doesn't it?
It's really, and some things the committees are being waived. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And so just know that the likelihood of hearing that it's time to reach out to our legislators is coming. You know, that time is likely coming, so we'll let you know. And talked to Representative Pulsifer today, and we're going to try to get together with her tomorrow. She's got a few questions and some things she'd like to ask and get our take on, and I appreciate that. I appreciate her collaborative desire to understand how the city feels about some things and to know, you know, what our position is and how we feel about it. That is super helpful. So that's nice. And
Mayor, I believe she's our only representative that voted no against the redistribution of the sales tax as well for the gravel pit solution.
Which is key, and I appreciate that. And actually, I am waiting. Do we have a full list? Do we know that that's the case, that she's the only one that voted no?
I'm pretty sure she is. I have looked up the list. But I'm pretty sure she is, and it's
about $160,000 a year.
Plus or minus $160,000 that we end up losing.
That we would lose. And it already passed the House and the Senate, like, boom, just flew through. And it's the first time in 40 years that a change to the 50-50 sales tax distribution has taken place. And it favors cities with gravel pits and hurts the rest of us. And so this morning I had a meeting with the governor's office and just told him outright what the impact is to South Jordan City. And what that combined with all the other bills that come as unfunded mandates, that come as haircuts from our revenue, we can't run a city if they keep taking all of our money. And our ability to even hold on to the money that we worked hard as a city for years to make sure we had this sales tax so our property taxes could stay low. If you're going to take our sales tax and distribute it other places, it's you can't do that. And that it passed. It passed all in one day. Dropped past House and the Senate.
Did anyone care when you were mentioning it to them?
The governor's office was good to listen. They were good to listen because what the league intends to do, just so you know, we intend to sign this letter. It's a veto letter from the league that we intend to sign, asking the governor to veto it with a lot of explanations as to why the process was out of order. And constitutionally, it's challengeable, and several things. Anyway, we are going to be sending a letter from the league that... unless you're opposed to it, South Jordan City intends to sign, adding our name to the request for a veto, which isn't always that simple, but we're going to try.
We're pretty much all the cities impacted. I mean, maybe not as much, but from a percentile standpoint. And what's the differential? What's the big item that we're getting hit on?
It's taking a portion of our sales tax and redistributing it to cities to cover their impact from gravel pits.
About $7 million total, if I remember right, will be redistributed. The majority of the cities are going to be have-nots, meaning they're going to lose sales tax that we're getting. There will be a few cities, just think of the ones you know, that have gravel pits that would be big winners in the equation. And it's taking the 50-50 and all local promises and everything orchestrated into that. 40 years in sales tax distribution and just switching it. The House forced it through kind of while we're getting numbers, because no one would give us numbers for some technical reasons. While the league was putting together numbers of how much it would cost the cities to lose, the House just pushed it through and it got through the House process. Did they say a day?
Yeah, in a day. The House and the Senate. Knowing that we were actively working on it.
They got pushed through and asked for some time, and the House leadership just got it through. They're trying to incentivize cities to allow and promote gravel pits because of all the controversy over gravel pits.
Which will tie into House Bill 527, where they're trying to take away local control from the counties with gravel pits.
There's a lot to it. So know that passed very, very quickly. And what we anticipate was sending a letter that most of the cities in the state, not the ones that are going to get a windfall from it, but everybody else, will likely sign that veto letter. Whether the governor vetoes it or not, what the expectation is that he will then convene both parties and really listen and open up another discussion, which is how best to handle it. The gravel pits has come back as a problem for several years. The whole time we've been here, gravel pits have come back every year. From a policy perspective, this is not, in a lot of our opinion, the way to appropriately handle the impact from gravel pits. But it went through very quickly. So we've got our work cut out for us on that. But just so stay tuned on that, because that's just one of many bills that would take quite a bit of revenue away from our city. And I mean, I tried to make it clear to the governor's team today, we cannot run a city if all of our revenue is taken away. And so we very much support a veto, you know. Of this.
Well, and then what keeps it from spreading to other industries? Salt Lake City, Woods Cross, North Salt Lake, with having the refineries, their roads take a heavy impact.
It's the reason that the 50-50 has not been opened up. It has been fought against opening up for 40 years because it does create winners and losers, and this opens a door that could really, you're right, lead to a path that could be worse and worse. So stay tuned, and we'll let you know where that's at. But that was the only other thing I needed to bring up to coordinate. So anybody have anything else? Okay, thank you. All right, discussion of our regular council meeting. We have a reasonably short agenda for a regular council meeting. We've got one public hearing item to adopt our streetscape master plan. Anybody have any questions about that at this point?
I did.
Councilman Sheldon had several questions.
So I reviewed it. yesterday and send an email to call me and got a response, a lengthy response yesterday. And I didn't mean for you to respond on a holiday, actually, but thank you. Anyway, I have forwarded that email to all of you, so you have my questions and the answers from Mr. Hill, and I forwarded it to you as well. And I think we ought to add it into the record.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Colby. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Anybody have any other questions about it? Anything you want to discuss? All right, if not, let's move on. Thank you. We have a presentation. We are looking very forward to this. We have Janelle Payne here to talk to us about a potential appointment to our Arts Council. So we'll turn it over to Janelle.
So this is Jason Heumann. He is an applicant for the Arts Council. And I think you all received his application through email and decided to invite him today. And you just have a seat.
Yeah, please.
And if you have any questions for him.
Jason, it's nice to see you. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
For those who don't know, Mr. Heumann is an outstanding photographer. We have appreciated his art. His photograph is what we have on our Gold Star Families Memorial Monument, the picture of the image of our city. And we've got some of his artwork hanging in City Hall. He's fantastic. He takes beautiful pictures of our city. He's done a great job. Before we open it up, maybe any questions, would you just tell us, give us a little synopsis, tell us about you and why it is that you'd like to be part of the Arts Council?
Well, to be honest, Rachel kind of just threw it at me. She's like, "Hey, we're looking for for somebody for the Arts Council," and I, you know, I'm always looking or have been looking for, you know, an outlet to serve, and getting involved with the local government is really cool. I've taken some photos of many of you and for some of you, and I'm just looking to represent on the council.
Awesome. Thank you. You want to give us a little bit about your background?
So when I'm not taking photos, I'm a defense contractor on the base. My group helps train fire pilots. I've been married to my wife, Melinda, for 21 years. I have a son, Mac, and a daughter, Audra. We have two dogs, Linus and Grayson.
Awesome.
I live in Daybreak.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Jason. Are you okay if we call you Jason?
Absolutely.
I'm happy to call you Mr. Heumann, whatever you'd like.
Jason's perfect.
Okay. Please, go ahead.
Jason, do you have a background in any other arts?
Not professionally. I do a little bit of professional photography, but I like to play music.
Okay.
Do a little bit of videography. I've done some cinematography. I've helped some independent films come to fruition, especially drone.
Very good at drone footage.
Yes, it was my favorite.
Yeah. Awesome.
Great.
Mountain Creek Middle School is the lucky beneficiary of those services every year.
They're a really awesome group. Duper Parker is an amazing counselor in there.
Yeah.
Have enough time for extracurricular activities here with the arts?
As far as?
Just showing up to meetings and contributing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm here to kind of investigate what the requirements are, roles and responsibilities, of course. Laura told me that you meet once a month.
Yep.
So for a couple hours, I could definitely spare the time. Like every Thursday, she's there. Second Thursday.
Second Thursday.
Yeah. Can definitely pledge that time.
Plus a few events here and there throughout the year that we
for sure
ask for the volunteer help.
They're fun too.
Yeah, awesome.
So, what kind of drone do you take your photography?
So I got a couple of you. I've got a Mavic 3, which is my latest purchase. I've got an FPV drone and a Mavic 2 Pro, which was my workhorse for many, many years.
Awesome.
And you're training fighter pilots.
Yes.
So you're trained them not to shoot.
I support the folks that train fire. No drones there.
Awesome.
explains why you know some of the schedules to get your awesome shots.
Right. Yeah. So I'm there. I'm there every day. So and we practice almost every day. So.
Awesome. Okay. It's exciting to have a new dynamic.
Yeah.
On the Arts Council.
So. Yeah, a different skill set that is awesome that we don't currently have on our Arts Council that brings. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so just so you are aware of the process, we will, this is how we always do it. After we interview somebody, we have a private deliberation just to chat. All together, and then we'll let you know for sure. And will you be sticking around later tonight? Are you leaving right after this? You're welcome to do whatever you'd like. We'll contact you. We'll be in touch just soon. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, you'll know tonight.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, John. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Next, we have a presentation that I'm also looking very much forward to, so forward to. We're going to turn the time over to Don Tingey, and I don't know how many friends we have from Y2.
We have just me in person.
Okay, well, thank you for your cute haircut. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, we have our community survey results that we get every year. Right?
Yep.
I'm hoping our recycling approval numbers have gone up a little bit more. We're still recovering from that. But anyway, please, we'll turn it over. You guys take it away. You're welcome to come up here and present to us. Yeah, come on up.
Mayor, you gave the perfect introduction to Kyrene. She goes without much
without
introduction.
Everybody knows Kyrene. She's everybody's favorite, unless she brings bad news.
Let's withhold commentary until after
she
you
always,
get the results.
That's right. You always present it positively. Even the negative stuff seems good, right?
Yeah.
And so
we'll do what we can.
We've been doing this a long time.
We have.
And so I'll just turn the time over to Kyrene.
Sounds good. Yeah, we are coming up on 10 years worth of tracked data in South Jordan. So lots of really exciting patterns to examine over time. We're thrilled to be here again this evening. So starting off, and I realized after we updated the council district boundaries for some extra comparisons, we added a key finding on this slide. So you get a bonus thing to remember. So starting off here, overall, we have a large majority of residents who continue to believe the city is headed in the right direction, pretty consistent with what we've seen in past years. And we only have about 12% of residents who say the city is headed in the wrong direction. I think I've mentioned this before, but especially in high growth cities where we see a lot of growing pains expressed, a lot of frustration, we're actually seeing that number shift more. Whether that's residents who are feeling more ambivalent, not expressing an opinion as to whether the city is headed in the right direction or the wrong direction, or some of those residents shifting towards more negative or pessimistic views of how the city is doing. So the fact that South Jordan has maintained this consistent level of optimism among residents is a really strong commendation for how you all are running the city.
When did you actually take the survey so we have some bearing?
Yes, we will go through methodology as well, but the survey was fielded, and I will jump ahead a couple slides so you can look at that. The survey was fielded the second week in January, so from the 7th to the 23rd, so right after the holiday dust has settled.
A snowstorm?
Yes, true. <Yes. laughs>
I can think of some emails I received during that time. So,
it shows.
It was noted in this.
Okay. Yes, it shows.
It's the recycling we got.
Yeah, exactly.
Snowplows and road condition.
We refreshed the panel this year to ensure that we're capturing a good sample of new residents who may have moved in over the last couple years as well. So we're feeling good about coverage there. And we also, in an effort to try and capture some of our renting residents who may not be represented in the utilities file, we reached out to residents in multi-unit buildings and things like that from the registered voter file. And we sent out just shy of 9,000 email invitations and sent 3,000 text message invitations. We had about 1,300, a total of 1,271 residents respond to the survey, so at least begin the survey. and 1,174 completed the survey. So we're right back at a full, healthy panel, feeling really good about that. And our overall response rate or a completion rate comes to about 92% there. So that's great. We're not seeing a lot of survey drop off, which is really good news. And then the response rate actually is nearly 10%, which is actually quite good for an online survey.
Wow.
Yeah. Telephone surveys at this point are usually hovering around 1% response rate. So you've got that by an order of magnitude here, which is great news. And that 1,174 interviews in a city the size of South Jordan results in a margin of error of just shy of 3 percentage points around all of those aggregate estimates. Naturally, within city council district boundaries, that margin of error is going to be a little bit higher because our sample size is smaller. But we're working with about a 7-point margin of error at most within those districts. We did, for the sake of this report, we're looking at the prior council districts so that we can see some of those changes within the historical boundaries over time. We've also looked at the numbers here within the updated council district boundaries. So we can talk to a little bit of those differences. We've seen a little bit of shift. So back to our key findings, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of things. Overall, the city's highest ratings come in regards to the city's safety, the community feeling that residents have, really the quality of life that residents enjoy within their neighborhoods and communities comes to the surface time and time again. And then city events as well. Residents were especially effusive about events in the city this year. Residents' major concerns continue to be focused on growing pains and managing the growth that is affecting the entire state. And so it's worth pointing out that while I think South Jordan was one of the cities where we saw earliest some of those growing pains bubbling to the surface, these growing pains, these issues, it probably comes as no surprise to you, are pretty universal for the state of Utah at this point, and certainly all of the cities we work with along the Wasatch Front. Overall, we find that residents feel they're getting a good value for their tax dollars. 73% say that it is excellent or good. So, again, pretty positive commendation there when we're talking about taxes in particular. And District 1 residents, or at least the historical District 1 boundary residents, are most likely to say that they feel they're receiving an excellent or good value for their tax dollar.
Wait till next year.
There are a couple areas where we've seen city service ratings shift a little bit compared to 2022. One of those is city code enforcement. We have seen a little bit of a decline compared to what I'll call a spike in 2022. It seems that last year's rating was sort of the anomaly in the trend line when we look at the historical pattern. Our recycling ratings do continue to rebound, so Mary will be proud to see that.
That's good.
And then we've actually seen a slight increase in satisfaction with planning and zoning, which, again, is somewhat uncommon among high-growth cities where there have been a lot of frustrations and growing pains expressed. Planning and zoning tends to take the bad rep for that, because when you're talking about future and growing pains, and we say planning and zoning, and sometimes building gets rolled into that description as well, residents see that as an easy scapegoat. So that's one where the fact that that rating has increased even slightly, I think, is something worth noting in South Jordan.
Thank you to everyone in this room who plays a part in that, and I hope that makes up a little bit for some of the grief you've had to deal with.
And then as far as communication channels go, residents continue to reach out to the city less and less frequently, or reporting contacting the city less and less frequently, which perhaps just highlights the efficiency of city communication channels and services that are available on the city website. So fewer residents are having a need to contact a city office. And residents' satisfaction ratings with those interactions they are having remain quite high. When it comes to the modes through which residents would prefer to receive information from the city, we see about half of residents indicating that they would like to receive email updates. from the city overall. And we recognize that there's a little bit of bias here. We're getting responses to an online survey, and these residents would like to receive information online. So certainly not a reason to disregard some of those traditional print media channels, but more a reason to sort of double down on those email efforts, making sure that we're continuing to reach the growing digital population. Skipping ahead through these slides. So getting into the meat of things here. Again, when we look at the overall share of residents who say the city is headed in the right direction, we have 53% in total. So more than half of residents say the city is headed in the right direction. Just 12% say the city is headed in the wrong direction in their estimation. And when we take out that one third of residents who decline to express an opinion, who don't know or say they're unsure, we're looking at about 82% of residents who state one way or another that the city is headed in the right direction. Again, this is a really positive indicator, especially when we look at that trend over time. Where, again, in many cities that are dealing with a lot of these growing pains and sort of struggling to mitigate some of the issues that residents face when they're seeing population growth, when they're seeing traffic and density increase, having that right direction rating stay at about that 80% mark is a great sign. And again, no statistically significant shift compared to last year. 2021 was a high point in a lot of ways. We'll highlight some of those other areas where we see a spike in 2021. But again, really maintaining that consistent level of optimism from residents in South Jordan. Our overall quality of life rating has also held pretty constant over time. This year's average on a scale from 0 to 100 is about an 83. You can see we've broken that out by council districts. Again, those are the prior council districts for the sake of that comparison over time. Next year, we'll update with the revised council districts and we'll discard the overtime comparison just so that we're looking at apples to apples with everything we have. But pretty consistent evaluations across council districts as well. So no statistically significant differences there. Overall, really high quality of life ratings from residents throughout the city.
You're comparing that to other cities as well when you
yes,
say that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, this is overall compared to other cities along the Wasatch Front, an 83 average quality of life rating is frankly excellent. So if there is a city we work with that has received a consistently higher rating, I can't think of it.
That's nice to know.
You're impressive.
Quite, so congratulations. When we ask residents whether they approve or disapprove of how you all are handling your jobs, we get a 52% total approval rating for the city as a whole. And again, within those council districts, fairly consistent ratings overall. That we have the largest ambivalent or decline to express an opinion in District 4, with about half of residents saying that they don't know enough to offer an approval rating. All of that said, 52% of residents throughout the city at large saying that they approve of the job that the elected officials are doing still puts Congress to shame. So hang your hats on that. This is quite positive as well. You can see only 9% of residents disapprove of the job the city is doing. So really we're looking at residents who approve or are reluctant to comment on your job performance. When we ask residents to compare the city today to 5 years ago, I think this one is interesting as well because we've seen growth in the share of residents who indicate that the city is about the same today as it was 5 years ago, which I see as a really positive thing when we look at the high quality of life ratings, when we look at the scores that residents have been giving the city over time. So looking at that trended, you can see our share of residents who say the city is about the same compared to 5 years ago has just surpassed the share of residents who say that the city is getting better than it was 5 years ago. So interestingly, again, I think our worsening rate has stayed pretty low. If anything, has declined over the last 5 or 6 years at a high point in 2017. But now we're staying at about the 1 in 5 residents who indicate that the city has gotten some degree worse. But again, seeing that nearly half of residents suggest that the city is at least the same as it was 5 years ago, given all of the concerns and growing pains we've heard about, that again, I think, is something quite positive. If we continue to see the number of residents who say the city has gotten better over time decline, and we saw an uptick in the share of residents who say the city is getting worse, that might be a little bit of cause for concern. But right now, I think the impression that the city is staying the course is quite positive. When we ask residents what they like most about living in the city, the things that really come to the forefront for me, again, keeping in mind that the size of the word on this image corresponds to the frequency with which it was mentioned, the quiet, safe, convenient neighborhoods, the sense of community, and then the proximity or convenience, the closeness to so many things that are important to residents, the amenities they enjoy, the accessibility of the city is a highlight in addition to, again, the character of the communities and the people here. When we look at our tax dollar ratings throughout the city, you can see we have 73% overall who give the city an excellent or good rating in terms of the value for their tax dollar. Again, District 5 sort of outperforming here just a bit in terms of the overall rating. But when we look at the share of residents who say that they receive an excellent value for their tax dollar, that number is highest in District 2. Again, all of these are statistically tied. We're not seeing any statistically significant differences. Unless we look at District 4 compared to District 5, that total excellent or good differential is statistically significant. And we have the largest share of residents in District 4 who say that they're receiving a poor value for their tax dollars. So that's maybe worth digging
this
into.
This is the former District 4 boundary,
yes,
right?
Correct.
Long one?
Correct.
Yeah. That's going to look very different when you compare it to the
all these
new
statistics
District 4 boundary.
Are still the
yes,
former.
This is prior council district boundaries. And we have updated in the appendix to this report all of these numbers with updated boundaries. But again, for that sake of comparison over time, we've just kept the prior boundaries here for now.
It's probably good Tamara's not here. I'm just saying.
When we ask residents...
She wouldn't like that.
When we ask residents how likely they are to recommend the city as a good place to live, we have a really high rating here as well. That 92% of residents being willing to recommend the city to others. Again, in the face of all of the growth, all of the development, all of the concerns about surging population and traffic and all of those things, having 9 out of 10 residents continue to recommend the city as a good place to live to their friends and family is an excellent rating. Again, certainly one of the highest I've seen.
And it feels like all 9 out of those 10 are choosing to move to the city of South Jordan. It does feel like that, right?
Looking at our characteristics of the city and residents' evaluations of how the city is doing in regards to some of the strategic priorities that you all have identified over the years. Residents are most impressed or most enthusiastic about the city's provision of a safe community and the opportunities they have to participate in city events, programs, and activities. So again, really high ratings there. Majority positive ratings across the board here in regards to these strategic priorities. The areas where residents are predictably most concerned are planning for the long-term needs of a growing community. We've seen that sort of consistently be the area where residents express the most reservation or frustration. And then after that, implementing government policies to efficiently use city resources is the next sort of lowest item in the hierarchy here. Again, not a majority of residents expressing concern, but relatively lower ratings compared to some of these other priorities that the city has identified.
What that tells me is that we have some messages that we need to do better at sharing, right? About the work that's being done and about, I mean, it means that we've got some stories to tell that are true about the really robust amount of work that is happening to plan for long-term needs of the growing community, because if our community isn't as aware as we'd like them to be, I'm not saying that's going to turn all of those numbers, but I think that that tells us, it tells me that we have an educational opportunity there to do more, to tell the story about the work that's being done today.
Well, and I think in the coming months, we'll have plenty of opportunity to share the story.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I think just based on some things we have this year, we'll see some of these numbers shift.
You think those two are fairly connected, though, from the public's view?
I think so. I think when residents see sort of their frustrations or their concerns about managing growth go unresolved, and I say that with a little bit of caveat, knowing that it's not that the city isn't working towards some of these long-range plans, but that these growing pains don't disappear overnight. And so as things are sort of taking time to be resolved, I think, yeah, we will see concerns about where the city's resources are being allocated, if not to solve the problems or the frustrations that residents are experiencing immediately.
Well, and the long-term growth and some of those things that you mentioned can't be solved immediately aren't going to be solved maybe ever because of the continued growth, right? But I think it bleeds into more of, I think we have to at least consider that part of that opinion could, and this isn't to justify it, I'm just being honest, part of that comes from people's stress over the fact that the whole state is growing.
Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, absolutely.
I think that is a real element of this consideration.
I think so, too. And I'll just double down again and say that having a majority of residents still say that the city is doing an excellent or good job planning for the long-term needs of a growing community, even though it is relatively lower here, having that 59% of residents say that the city is doing a good job here is a positive indicator, even if it is an area for potential improvement.
And I think the feedback that I have been hearing from residents on that is they're concerned with issues that you're seeing on the news, kind of what you're talking about, Mayor, like water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so, you know, I know this year we have more snowpack, so it's better right now. But, you know, over time, you know, when we have, you know, residents will say, okay, we keep on adding houses, but, you know, we're in a drought and we have limited water. And that's hard for people to get their arms wrapped around, you know, that.
I actually think that, so that the survey went out probably before the news of the Rio Tinto.
It was just closing.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking that as a result of just that alone, you're going to see that's going to get beat up statistically.
The last few days of the survey, it was right when the announcement was made. And you're right. There's a lot of comments in the survey about the water.
Yeah.
And that's why I was asking at the very beginning, when did the survey go out? Because I think that would have negatively impacted some of the survey.
Yeah, there was a lot going on during that.
I think it was like a Monday, and I think we closed on Wednesday.
That sounds right.
So looking at some of these evaluations of the city's performance in regards to these strategic priorities over time, again, participation in city events or opportunities to participate in city events continues to rise or sort of maintain constant compared to last year. But that's our highest performing area right now. Residents are really satisfied with the opportunities they have to engage in the city with those events that are provided. And then we had a spike in residents' evaluations of accessible recreation in 2021, which if you think back to how many residents were out and about in the parks looking for an outlet to sort of escape from their homes and from quarantine in 2020, seeing that accessible recreation number jump up in 2021 and sort of come back down to prior years' levels this year makes a lot of sense to me. I don't think that's a negative indicator of the recreational amenities in the city. I think it's just an indicator that fewer residents are turning to those recreational amenities as their source of sanity.
Yeah, back to their normal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Remember, we started those programs like the virtual race series and a bunch of activities specifically during that time period and made those available.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a lot of consistency here is what we're really seeing. When we ask residents what they see as the most important issues facing the city today and in the future, really, really similar pictures here, generally speaking. The Though the thing that I will point out sort of hits on what Councilman was saying before, is that water is a bigger concern. It's more frequently mentioned when we think about the future. Residents are concerned now about the growth, and they're concerned about what effect the growth along the Wasatch Front throughout the state of Utah is going to have on our water supply and what that means for our future. The other thing that sort of gains prominence when residents have an eye towards the future is infrastructure concerns. So certainly all of the traffic and transportation issues that residents are encountering now, they're worried about how that continues to be affected as the population continues to grow.
Great.
Yes.
Can I make one quick comment?
Of course.
So in regards to, I've been looking at these surveys for years, and you know, 5+ years ago, it was anything that had mention with water, 90% of the time was water rates. Our rates are too high. We need secondary water. And there's been a switch now, because what you just said, looking at this last year's comments, everything related to water is about growth and having enough water. It's completely different than it was 5 years ago with what residents were saying.
Yeah, same words showing up, but very different context.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So looking at our city service ratings really quickly, I will just point out that our fire and emergency medical services and our garbage collection continue to be our top performers in terms of overall city service ratings, followed very closely by drinking water in the city, police services, and city parks and open spaces, rounding out that top five. All of these ratings are quite positive. Again, nothing below a 50 on that 0 to 100 scale, so we're not seeing any services where residents are expressing a lot of dissatisfaction with what the city is providing. Relative areas for improvement, again, planning, zoning, and building services, taking the brunt of residents' frustration around growth and continued development. Water conservation efforts there, with just under two-thirds of resident, or just under two-thirds on that 0 to 100 scale at 64. And then city code enforcement is at a 65.
Now, can you go back though?
Yes.
So on the water conservation efforts, you know, that's one of our lower scores. I mean, I think overall people are just concerned about water. But I mean, Mayor, I don't think there's a city that's done more than what we've done.
South Jordan conserved more water than any other community in the entire Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District.
Yeah.
And I know we put information out there, so I don't think it's a lack that we're not putting information out there. But I just think that just goes to show that even with putting the information out there, people are just still concerned about water.
I think you're right, because that kind of surprises me as well. And I think you're right. It's a bigger picture concern about water long term.
It is. And that's what we hear in residents' comments about city services as well. There are residents who have taken advantage of many of the city's programs and opportunities to conserve.
We offer more than anyone in the whole, actually any other city in the state besides St. George.
Yeah.
We offer more rebate programs.
And residents have overwhelmingly positive experiences with those programs, but the overwhelming concern about the water supply continues to, I think, have an effect on that overall score. And when we look at these evaluations over time, again, our top performing city services, we don't have a lot of shifts. These are almost straight lines. Statistically speaking, we have virtually no movement among those top performing service evaluations. We do see a slight decline for street maintenance, which I'm curious, now that I don't live in Salt Lake County, I interact less with the roads in South Jordan. So I'm curious to know if there's a new construction project that might be frustrating residents.
I think
that's when we tend to see this one fluctuate.
I think the pothole issue.
Okay.
It's the pothole issue after the
after
snow
the snowstorm and having
that
to
makes
plow
sense.
The roads, because
okay.
That's when we get potholes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
It went. Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's what my nose is.
That makes perfect
it
sense
have
to
the
me.
Rest of that makes sense to me either.
But yeah, that's when we usually see fluctuations in that score, is either when there's a big project undertaken or there's an issue that a lot of residents are encountering, and potholes would be one of those.
I think as we're looking at our budget, I think we need to pay attention to that. You know, that's on the residents' mind, and, you know, making sure that our roads are well maintained. I've always been an advocate for funding the maintenance roads, along with the other council members as well. But just something to, we just want to stay on, continue to stay on top of it.
much. We can do better.
You know what? It's roads are bad everywhere.
Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
There's the street that was up at the Capitol today at the LPC and driving west on 47th South.
Yeah.
Felt like I needed to have a four-wheel drive to get through there.
Well, it's an off-roading experience.
As Director Rasmussen pointed out, though, I mean, we haven't had the good days, really, where we can fix those potholes.
Yeah.
You know, I think overall our city does do a good job on staying on top of our street maintenance, but it is weather pending on what how fast we can get out and fix things.
Sure. And even with that relative decline compared to the last couple years, street maintenance is still in our top 9 performing city services. So
right.
It's definitely not an area where residents are expressing a great deal of concern. Just one area where we've seen a relative decline. Looking at our second tier of city services, a lot of volatility in that recycling number, but we are seeing it continue to rebound, so that's good news. And then the city code enforcement number has sort of leveled out back to pre-2022 levels. Again, 2022 was an interesting anomaly there because I don't understand how many residents would have been interacting with city code enforcement, what would have happened to change the perceptions between now and a year ago today.
I don't either.
So I'm very curious to know if there's...
We need to do better, so...
but it's city code enforcement...
You please some and you don't please others.
But that spike is interesting.
That spike's very...
Yeah,
it's about...
It represents an anomaly here. The rest of the line is really right
we
around the same level, so...
We didn't enforce water, our park strips or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
We talked about it in our staff meeting, too, and kind of scratched our heads.
Interesting. Otherwise, not a lot of movement here in terms of those city services on the lower half of that spectrum. Again, though, no city services dropping below a 50 on that 0 to 100 scale. No city services even dropping below a 60 on that 0 to 100 scale this year. When we ask residents for any comments they may have about their experience with city services, some of the things that sort of illustrate the points we've talked about already, again, the seriousness around water conservation, residents' concerns about the water supply, some concerns about snow removal performance. When we're in the field, when there is a massive snowstorm, we always get comments like that. And then some comments as well about just, again, the continued growth and development that are concerns for residents. But we do have, we pulled out one of these illustrative comments in particular about residents' experience with the water rebate programs. It was easy, and they think it's a great service to encourage the conservation of water, reduce outdoor water use. So residents do recognize that the city has taken strides in that regard, but are still very concerned about the overall issue.
Literally more strides than any other city.
looking at our communication channels overall, we have 41% of residents who say that they currently rely on emails from the city as their primary source of city information, and 50% who would prefer to receive their information from an email from the city. That 9 percentage point differential, again, just represents an opportunity to continue to leverage that digital medium. That said, city newsletters, 28% of residents say that that's their current most reliable method, or the method they turn to most to receive information from the city. And we actually have a little bit of an over-representation there. So just 1 in 5 residents, or 21%, say that that's where they would prefer to receive most of their information. So again, keeping in mind that this is an online survey, it's a digital sample, there is a little bit of desire there to move toward a digital communication medium. But certainly, again, those printed traditional sources are quite valuable to residents. Other than that, we're matching residents' preferences quite well in terms of the communication channels they have available and what they would prefer to utilize.
Is there any comments on, or do you have information on the frequency of us reaching out, like how many emails we send out, or didn't really go over that?
We don't send out that many.
Yeah, there's kind of right balance. You know, you can't overdo it.
Yeah.
I'm curious, if the residents, if they want more emails, if they Like, but it probably depends on who you ask.
You're leading right into my next slide. Okay. So, actually,
I'm not sure
if there is a slide in here. We asked a couple questions about the frequency of communication and whether residents feel the city reaches out enough, whether they're receiving enough information from the city, whether they would prefer to receive some degree more communication from the city, or if they're getting about the right amount. And I think, actually, we have not looked at those numbers broken out by the channel through which they would prefer to receive communication. So I'll take that as a follow-up item from this meeting, just so that we can see if there are, you know, if residents who are relying on emails from the city feel that that frequency is right specifically.
Yeah, I'd really be interested to know that. Because we purposely don't send very many out.
If, not looking specifically at that population of residents who prefer email communication, but in general, residents feel that the cadence of information they receive from the city is about right. If anything, they would be interested in receiving slightly more information from the city.
If we can go back, I was interested in the newspaper one. I don't even know what newspaper people are referring to, because if they mean like the South Jordan Journal, there hasn't been an article about South Jordan City for 6 months in the South Jordan Journal, you know. So I'm not sure what newspaper they're referring to. We don't have that one. That would be my guess.
That would be the only.
I think that's it.
We don't make it a practice of writing a lot of op-eds to put in the Deseret News of Tribune. Right. Some cities do. We don't.
Sure.
I'm just trying to understand that one.
My guess would be it is referring specifically to the South Jordan Journal when we're looking at 8% of residents who say that they get some of their information from the city through that medium.
Fascinating.
Again, whether that's
the city coming out.
Whether
they
that's
not
the highest
that's
level
not
or
not. Official, like, city
form
of communication.
Right. I think they just say it's the city journal, so it must be city information.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. The one other thing that I will highlight here, there is an opportunity to leverage social media just a bit more. We have 10% of residents who say that they would prefer to receive communication from the city through social media. Currently, only about 6% say that that's one of their primary information sources. It's not ranked particularly high, but again, there is an opportunity to continue to leverage those social media accounts, or just encourage resident or help residents know where to find you and how.
That is so fascinating. Our social media is so good. Like, we put a lot out. Interesting. It's just interesting.
All they got to do is try.
We've had some interesting discussions internally on that one. And I think it's a leverage on each other. And so they see it on social media, but then it's like confirmed in the emails and the newsletters.
Yeah.
And so, anyways.
No, I'm sure there's a lot of cross-pollination here. That makes a lot of sense. So in terms of the share of residents who have reached out to a city office in the past year, we are now down to about 1 in 3 residents who say that they've contacted the city, whether to seek information, service, or to file a complaint. Again, that's the lowest share of residents we've seen reach out to South Jordan since we've been tracking this particular piece of information. And again, I think as we see the satisfaction rate continue to hold steady, this would just suggest that there are other information sources, other channels where residents can seek those services more efficiently.
I think it's our improved website.
Yep.
You know, they can get the information easier. I mean, a lot of effort went into that. Mm-hmm. And so people, they're getting used to it and can find their information faster.
Yeah. Wow. This is a good statistic.
It is, yeah. This is, I think, a really good highlight that shows that residents are finding ways to get the information or the service they need without having to reach out directly to a city office. But they're
they
not
might be
seeing...
a good day to share that information with the information center upstairs. Give them those numbers.
They've had a rough day.
They might appreciate knowing, actually, it's going to get better because in the aggregate, it's down quite a bit.
It's also worth noting that residents recognize the efficiency when they are reaching out to city offices. So most of their concerns are still being resolved within one or two transfers, or within one transfer, either their first contact or after one transfer. Very few residents indicating that their question or concern was not addressed. And overall, 87% of residents, nearly 9 out of 10, continued to say that they were treated with courtesy and professionalism when they contacted the city offices. So again, that level of service remains high, even though fewer residents are reaching out for that particular interaction. And that concludes our overview of the data. This is just a quick look at our demographic composition. You can see we have a good distribution of residents across age ranges. We have increased the share of residents who have lived in the city for less than 2 years with that panel refresh. So that 13% has us feeling a lot better about things, whereas last year when we took this survey, we were down to about 2% there at best. Pretty even split between men and women. About 1 in 4 residents identify as a as a member of a community of color, and pretty good income distribution here overall.
I think that by increasing the percentage of residents that have lived here less than 2 years, I think that has an impact on some of the changes in numbers too. Residents who have lived here longer, I think a majority, not all, but a majority tend to score some things higher that have been here longer, and I think people who have been here less time. Am I wrong?
So I will say, in most cities, we actually find that the more negative attitudes come from the most longtime residents. The fact that we are seeing most of the scores sort of hold steady suggests that those longtime residents are no more or less aggrieved than the new residents are, which, again, is good news. The level of service being provided by the city overall is satisfying for residents. Where we see those newer residents having the most impact in the scores, and I will attempt to jump back to the slide.
I think the senior citizens, I think they notice it faster and more. They're paying more. They have more context. They're paying more attention to what's going on.
That we see the most frequently is just those residents who have been here the longest have seen the community change the most over time. And so we get some of that nostalgia for what the city used to be. And that's common all across the Wasatch Front. But the area where we see those newer residents having the most impact is in those neutral responses. So that neither or don't know enough category.
This is the slide that I'm kind of looking at the most. And also it's the one that seems the most changed from last year, in my opinion. And that's where I think having a larger percentage of people who have lived here 2 years and a good number who have lived here 3 to 5 years, I think that plays significantly into this.
It does, yep. Certainly in that approval rating, some of those newer residents are more reluctant to express an opinion either way. The other area where we see that show up is, again, in that right direction, wrong direction question, where we have 1 in 3 residents indicating that they're just not sure about the direction the city is headed, but... Again, when we take those unsure or reluctant to respond residents out of the equation, we're seeing that number remain consistently high.
I think if you did a survey of those that don't know or unsure, you'd find that they haven't been in the city very long.
When we look at the crosstabs there, the length of residence among that don't know unsure population is largely the newer residents. That's correct.
I actually found that during the last election cycle. There were a lot of new residents in the city who really didn't know anything about. They had no historical context for how great this city is or the work that had been done, or they just simply didn't know. They didn't know anything about us. They didn't know anything about what we'd done. They hadn't heard of any of us, and they hadn't lived here long enough to know anything about it. There were a lot of people that way. So as we continue to grow and get so many new residents, that's something to be mindful of. But, I think for me, sometimes it's easy to think we've got people who have been here a long time and they've got a lot of context. We know a ton of people in this community, but we've got so many moving in that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you see that.
I do want to say this is off the cuff a little bit and not referring specifically to the survey data, but several of the cities that Y2 works with have asked me questions about as this number has shifted, because in many cities, it's shifting pretty dramatically and in ways that are concerning. As this number has shifted, what they can do to combat some of that. And I use South Jordan as a positive anecdote here for championing the work that you all are doing. I think South Jordan does an especially good job at communicating your successes and waving the flag of the work that cities do proudly and loudly for citizens to see. And I think that's part of the reason that residents here are expressing more optimism, are a little bit more confident in the direction the city is headed, where residents in other cities along the Wasatch Front that are experiencing similar growing pains or levels of growth and development are getting a little bit less optimistic, are expressing either more uncertainty or more pessimism. I really think you deserve commendation there for the work that you do to communicate with your citizens about what you're doing to make sure that their quality of life remains high.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Of course. That concludes our overview. Any questions? I know that's a lot to digest.
Don, will you be emailing that to us like in the past?
Mayor, I think this next year we'll probably get a lot of very positives in terms of other recreational opportunities with the announcement of the Larry Milner properties there and the stadium. I think we'll also get a lot of negative as far as continued parks growth because of the annexation. Yeah. We're going to get water. Hopefully, we'll have a little bit more water in the reservoirs at the end of this snow rain cycle. But I think just inviting all those that's going to be a source of, you know, is this going to cause a lot more traffic and a lot more just general issues with a lot of people. But I think we've handled it fairly well, very, very well overall. So,
you know, you say that the announcement of the ballpark came during this time, during the survey time too. So
was it right in the middle or
right in the? It was right before the annexation, right?
Yeah, they were like the same.
We're right around the same time. It's in. I know. So, it hit some of the verbatim.
Yeah, I think that'll be a positive, and that and the, isn't the park. Bingham Creek going to be opened a lot more this summer, so I think that ought to be some real positive as well.
Do we have water?
Yeah, we have water if the grass grows. Birds stop eating the seed.
Yeah.
Geese are getting fat.
Geese are getting fat.
That's good for the soil.
Yeah.
Gotta put a penny in the old man's hat.
Yeah, just not good for the grass. It's not good. Yeah. Any other questions for Kyrene or for Don?
Good job.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate having you here.
Say hi to Kelly, of course.
Will do.
Yeah, and Quinn.
Yes, and Quinn.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you all.
Thanks for being here. Yep. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. I look forward to getting that. There's a lot to digest there and a lot to be strategic in looking at how we, you know, what information we need to make sure we share with our residents and what information they may not be, that we might think we're sharing enough of, but maybe we could share more, you know?
And I also think as we continue to work on the budget, there's a lot of information that can be applied.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you. All right, we have item F on our agenda, a discussion item, our Arts Council discussion. We are excited to have our Arts Council Chair, Lara, here. And we are going to, we'll turn the time over to our Arts Council Chair and invite you to come up here and give us an update about the great things happening at the Arts Council. So many great things.
It has been, last year was really exciting, and this year we're excited also. I want to express my appreciation for the support that we get from our city council, because we're able to do a lot as a council, and or as an arts council, and I think over the past few years, at least the past few years I've been on it, I've seen so much more happening from the art perspective, and it's really fun to have the theater going, and visual arts, and in listening to the survey that was just done, we've got some things for community involvement. We've got a bunch of great things coming online. And if I can figure out where do I point this?
Hit the right button. Just hit it anywhere.
Okay. All right. So first we're going to review. Last year, we loved the softball and baseball murals on the stands there. It just made it so much more exciting. The artists did such a great job, and people could comment on that. So much. And it was really exciting too. It's one thing to see it on paper, it's another thing to go there and be like, wow, that makes it like really cool when you go there. The crosswalk murals have been a big hit here on Town Center Drive. I hope you guys have enjoyed those. And the mural on the Jordan River Trail was completed. That was a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys know how that came into effect, but we had a resident that was walking down there during COVID and was like, got to the bridge and was like, this looks sketchy. And so they brought it up to the Arts Council. And so we looked at some ways that this had been, that some murals and rotating murals had been implemented in other cities, and decided to go that route. And now we've got such wonderful, beautiful art down there for us to enjoy, and a lot of community involvement on that as well. The theater production, did you guys all make it to the Music Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did such a great job with that. It's so fun to see that. And the community center has been great to host us there, and we're excited about the talks about having something larger come to South Jordan, I mean. Okay, so we've got artists on display going year-round, and then the annual art show is March through April. We've got that coming up this next month, so please make sure you come out to check that out. We have a wonderful amount of local artists. The pumpkin carver in October, that's always fun to have, and the pumpkin walk is always fun to go to. The gingerbread contest is stunning. If you've seen those, some of the work there is just, it's pure architecture. It's insane. And then the ice sculpture, that was something that we did new this year for Light the Night. I'm like, I'm there. I just can't get it out of my mouth. All right, and this is what we have ideas for this upcoming year. So we just had the photo contest is we just had. And then we have our art show coming up again in March and April. And then this year for Soja Summerfest, the Arts Council is sponsoring a poster contest. And that is for... it's a commemorative poster for South Jordan. So we're going to, for Sojo Summerfest, so we're going to put that out for residents and artists to create something, send that into us so that we can use that in advertising, or the city can use it in advertising and promotions and things like that. It's always fun to have local artwork. And then the quilt show will be with us. It used to be something we did, and we're bringing it back. It's going to be in conjunction with Art on the Town on May 6th. And then the gingerbread contest we'll have in November. The artists on display year-round, the utility box art, that's kind of an ongoing project, and we'll keep looking at those, and we like to import them more because, really, it just makes those unsightly boxes much more fun to see.
Everybody loves it.
Isn't it great? We love driving down the street and seeing artwork, and I think it's just a nice pop to see. We'll continue with the pumpkin carver in October and have the ice sculpture again at Light the Night. So community engagement, I don't know how many of you know that this happens, but there is a vintage dance that happens Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. I have it on my calendar, but at the community center. So that's happening year-round. We've brought back the Stomp Puppet Improv Group. Jason knows more about that than I do. I know your family's enjoyed that. And then the theater.
Is that the magic part of that?
No. Not the Stomp Puppet?
They used to be.
Who?
Is that the Magic King?
Yeah.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
You said Angie.
The theater, we're doing something different this year, and I'm hoping that I can explain it right. In the past few years, we've had one theater production a year, and this year, in an effort to bring in more theater productions, we've actually kind of, I guess you'd say, outsourced theater groups. So we put out an RFP to theater groups to be able to come in and put on the production, so it's not using quite so many of our own resources. And that way, we're hoping to have two productions this year instead of just one. So that'll be exciting. And that's also getting more community involvement, and they'll take on a lot of those roles and be able to get the community involved in that. Geocaching murals. I'm excited for this. It's, it's like having little mini murals sprinkled around the city. And so you're not quite sure where they're going to be. You see these in a lot of big cities where there's just like this little you know, little mouse on the wall or something like that. What we want to do with those is most likely use a QR code that people can use to find clues to other ones and go around the city and find find this little spot. So by geocaching, mainly we mean we're going to go and find them. As I was listening to a survey about community events and our community enjoying going out and doing those, I thought that was kind of fun because we're going to be adding to that. And this will be not just an event, but what would you call it? An experience that they can do and that it should be ongoing. And then the community ornament project in November, we're talking about having community members come in and decorate ornaments that can be put up on a tree that will be at Light the Night. And that's what we have. It's not going anywhere. So that's what we have coming up for this year. We have a lot of fun and exciting things planned for our community and as an arts council. And I wanted to mention, I hope Jason Yeaman gets approved because he would be a wonderful asset to the council. We'd be excited to have him. So do you guys have any questions?
I have one for Janelle.
Are we able to announce anything about the theater tonight, or are we still trying to solidify that?
We haven't had like our meeting yet, our agreement, but we have the ratings and we have a potential production.
I'll keep my mouth shut then.
We've got additional announcements that we hope to be able to make in the future that I think will be well received by the arts community and the entire community.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun year of announcements.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And Mayor, one other thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Tiffany should introduce yourself.
Oh, sure.
Because you're a kind of a new addition.
Yeah, I'm a new addition to arts. My name's Tiffany Harper. You may have known me before because I worked for the city for 12 years at the rec center. My back can't get rid of me, I guess. So I am the new arts program coordinator, and I've been here since September. So.
Yeah, and she's been great too.
Yeah,
great addition.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, how many?
So the Sock Puppet Improv Group, is that happen at the Gale Center?
Yes. Yeah, the Gale Center on the first.
And where does the vintage dance take place?
The community center.
Yep.
And so that's like Regency era type dance.
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen. Yes, I know. I keep putting it there. Wednesdays are just busy, but anyway, one of these days I'll make it there. If you're into the Regency era, Victorian era type experience, or if your wives are, it'll be a fun thing to go to.
My wife's excited about the art show. She's gonna have one or two. I can't remember. You can have up to two. Is that right?
Yeah.
She's gonna have a couple pieces of her art, some new ones in the show. So excited about that.
And I'm glad we're bringing the quilt show back.
Yeah.
I think that's good, and I think I can think of a couple of people who I know make ornate quilts that live out on the west side of the city in the Daybreak area, and a couple of our 55 and older communities. Certainly that's not the only place these amazing quilters live, but I know of some that didn't live here when we had the quilt show, since we've had it. They've lived here, and we haven't had it since they've lived here. I would probably love to get involved with that. That's awesome.
That would be wonderful.
Do those have to be, or the quilts, ones that could be submitted from others in the past? I'm not talking about other shows, but that have been done in the past, or do they have to have been made in the past couple of years, or what's the rule for those?
We didn't think we'd step
out, didn't?
So it could be
okay.
And I think also it's been several years, so
okay.
Come back and see them.
That's right. Okay.
And it'll be fun to have it in conjunction with Art in the Town, because then it'll be a whole art event.
Yeah.
To have it there, but we'd love to have them, and if you guys can, help get it out through social media and other networking.
When is the quilt show again? I don't remember.
May 6th.
Yeah, May 6th.
May, okay.
Yep, it'll be from 10 to 3, and the quilt will be right here at City Hall.
And the applications are both open for the art show and the quilt show online
right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get
quilts. Oh, yeah. That's what she used to do before she did art.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Guys, we're doing so great time-wise. Really great. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Thanks for being here, and thank you for all your time. Lara, as a volunteer, we appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for a motion to recess our city council study meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We will thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. We're going to go into our executive closed session. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Welcome back to our study meeting. I'm going to ask if there is a motion to amend our city council meeting agenda to add a resolution. It's actually to add, this says it's a public hearing, but that doesn't really make sense. It's not a public hearing.
Yeah, it's not a public
right?
hearing.
To add an action item to appoint a member to the Arts Council.
And before we print those, I will reprint them.
Okay.
With action item.
Is there a motion to amend the city council agenda to appoint a member to the Arts Council?
So I will so move.
Okay, I'm going to give that motion to Mr. Marler and the second to Mr. McGuire. All right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we will amend our city council agenda to add that item. And with that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, thank you. We are adjourned.
Donald's saying, got it.